All right. So, where's my lovely pink thing? I thought I have it here. Ah. See? I'm not God, but I keep my promise. Look at this. So, this is the 50 plus. This is for all the mothers. And some of you are qualified for both. Some of you only qualify for one. Like these brothers, they only qualify for this. This is a little bit too pink for them. We have here, as I said, Isaiah 54:1, which you can easily frame it or do something, put it on your refrigerator or something. Brothers, how about you pass it to the sisters right now? The ushers, please. My gift to you. But I didn't work on it, the brothers did, so. Quickly, quickly. A lot of sisters on this side. Quickly. So while they're passing out, we can just get going. Now, this meeting will end promptly at 4 o'clock, we guarantee. And so, of course, I will give you a word, sort of the last word for this weekend. And then I'd like to open up for some Q&A, or what they call Q&R or something, that you may have some questions for me. And we can spend a little time on that. And then at the end, I'd like to still hear from a good number of you, maybe even some brothers who have been with us. They may be quite moved by the Lord and comment or say a few words to us as well. Okay? All this will be done in less than 2 hours. Now, for this particular session, I have to rely on what I gave to you, what was passed on out to you. I hope it is not in your luggage in the car, but this little printout or handout. This weekend, the title is The Blessing. The Blessing of Fruitfulness and Multiplication in God's economy for the increase and spread of the church, the body of Christ. And I'd like to circle back here to underscore that all that we're talking about this weekend, about fruit-bearing, about childbearing, and all of this, about the increase, about multiplication, that all of this, as far as God is concerned, is His blessing. It's a blessing to multiply. It's a blessing to have increase. It's a blessing to be fruitful. I have here Deuteronomy chapter 7, and this is a word spoken to Israel in the wilderness through Moses. And Jehovah was still consistent with his speaking at the time of his creation of man. So in chapter 7, verse 13, he says this. He's talking here, obviously, about the entering into the good land, the land of Canaan, and how they should do, how they should be. A lot of ordinances and and also a lot of re-speaking by a lot of rehearsal, even of the law and the statutes by this man of God, Moses. So here it says, and he will love you. Listen to this. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. I love these three words. God loves Israel. God blessed Israel. And God multiplied Israel. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, your grain, your new wine, your fresh oil, the offspring of your cattle, and the young of the flock, on the land which he swore to your fathers to give you. Now, sisters, you all know that this land that God had promised to Israel, it's called the Promised Land, is a type, actually a full type, the all-inclusive Christ. So it was God's promise to bring them, his people, fully into Christ as their land and as their portion. And on this land, they will live. They will be rooted. They will be grounded. And they will be built up into God's house, and even into God's kingdom, which is what God wanted to do with Israel as a partial fulfillment, a fulfillment in type of his heart's desire, of his purpose that we read in Genesis 1:26-28. He eventually will gain a nation, a peculiar people, a priesthood, a kingdom of priests for his expression on the earth, which also means he would rule among them and have a kingdom in their midst. So this Israel, the children of Israel, were transported, actually, by God into this good land, just like we were transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And it is in this land, or on this land, that what they will be blessed and multiply. So, sisters, today we're all in Christ, aren't we? Paul says, today we're in him, we should be walking in him. We should be rooted in him. We should be built up in him as our good land. But what are we doing here? Surely we're here enjoying this wonderful, all-inclusive Christ. And again, for those of you who have not read the book, The All-Inclusive Christ, you better get it before the bookstore closes. Actually, it's in the next chapter that Brother Lee used this one verse, or rather four verses, to give that one conference, the first major conference ever in the Western world in Los Angeles back in 1962. That is in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. And this verse that I just read to you preceded that verse concerning all the riches in this good land. God is bringing you into a good land, a land of water brooks, a land of springs and fountains flowing forth in valleys and mountains, land of wheat and barley. You've got to read that book to find out what all these means, vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oils and oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. You will not lack anything in this land. It's a land whose stones are iron and from whose mountains you can mine copper. Very, very rich. Very, very rich. All this are for God's people to enjoy. But my point is, what is all that enjoyment for? God has a purpose. Well, it is to build his kingdom and to build up the temple, his house, for his dominion, for his expression. How so? How so? By their multiplication, by their increase of the Israelites. They have 12 tribes, right? Actually 13 by then. So God blessed them and multiplied them. I say this to, again, underscore, sisters, this should be very, very clear within you, that the Lord's blessing is always seen in growth, in a flourishing situation, in a condition of multiplication. That is a sign of the Lord's blessing. And so our burden in these days is that our church life would be such a flourishing church life. As a matter of normality and regularity, all the churches, all the local churches, ought to be constantly fruitful. Constantly fruitful. There should be crying babies everywhere. There should be bumps everywhere. You understand what I mean? There should be conception all the time. There should be kiddies of varying sizes and ages all the time, filling our church life as a matter of normality. This should be. Unlike in some past situations or in some churches, after years and years and years, is the same old persons staring at each other. Some elders still used to have dark hair, and now it's all gray, still looking at each other like that. And sisters likewise, just the same sisters, except now we have all, you know, changed a little bit and looked a little different, but it's still you and me. And that is not a very, very encouraging situation, is it? For a family, after decades, is still the same persons there. Now, when you have kids and children and toddlers, it's a mess. It's messy. You know, when my grandchildren visited us, it's like a tornado. And they don't pick up after themselves. And after they leave, we have to pick the things up. And now we just keep the toys, even we just forget about putting them in a closet. We just leave it there. We don't have the energy to put them back. We just sweep them to the corner. And because they're going to come again and make a mess again anyway, why clean up, right? Well, if you want children, you better expect that. If you want to be, you know, these two old folks, everything spick and span, everything, you know, no wrinkle, no hair, no nothing, the white glove, you know, well, then the best way is not to have any children. If you want children, you are asking for trouble. That's the nature of things. And you know what? Our God loves such trouble. He is not looking for local churches that are all so clean, so right, so proper, so orderly, where there's no one young there. Everyone is 50 plus. Everyone has one of these. That is not a proper church. That is not a church with a future. In fact, that church is somewhat dying. That's why I gave you A.B. Simpson's quote. It's a dying church. A barren church is a dying church. A church that has hope, that has future, is a messy church. It's just noisy and troublesome and messy. But that church has a future. What kind of church do you like? You know, we all go to the meetings of the church, right? I mean, actually, a lot of our church meetings are quite disheartening because it's the same people. You know, I can actually finish your prayer because I've been listening it for 20 years now. And you can finish my prayer. You know exactly what I'm going to say. And that is not very, very encouraging, is it? You know what? One morning, we are in a church meeting, and there are two brand new faces. And I tell you, suddenly the dynamics changed. That whole meeting. Suddenly everybody is excited. Everyone is hopeful because there are two new faces there. Two new faces there. The same thing in your group meetings. How long has there been a new one in your group meeting? No wonder your group is not very enjoyable. In fact, even you don't want to go to your group meetings because it's the same old. But if that group meeting suddenly is filled with a few new ones, I tell you, that changed the whole dynamics. Brothers and sisters, do you see this? I like to see all the churches in Northern California from now on, at any time, in any meeting, there are all sorts of new faces there. But these new faces will not show up by themselves. These new faces will only be there if there were mothers, there were conceptions, there were labor, there were care, there were lots and lots of shepherding and feeding. Then we see these people there. So I think you do get the point. You do get the point. Now I like to tell you, sisters, actually, it is not that difficult to get people, contrary to our thinking. You know, something that you don't do, and now I ask you to do, it's like climbing Mount Everest. You know, about a year and a half ago, I got this back problem. And that back problem forced me to go to do physical therapy. And the physical therapist, they can only do so much to massage you and do this and that. And after a while, they say, go home. We cannot do anything more for you. It's your problem, you know. And what they do is, with me, is they are not only doing whatever, wherever I have some problems in the lower back, this and that. What they say is, what you really need is exercise. You need to build up your core, you know. You need to build up your core strength. That is what is eventually going to help you, not our massage. So they start telling me to do exercises, go home and do this and that exercises. And I started doing them in this last year and a half. And when I first saw these exercises, I said, oh, come on, this is too easy. What a joke. You tell me to do that? They say, yeah. You know, do it 30 seconds on this side and 30 seconds on that side and then do this and do that. I said, that is absolutely too easy until I started to do it. And I told the brothers, I demonstrated to them one very, very simple exercise is called the regular plank. Right? You know a plank. Do you know a plank? A plank goes like this, right? So that's a plank right there. And you, the key, the important thing is you cannot, your back cannot go this way, your back cannot hang on the floor, your back has to be like this, straight. And you try this. I said, that's easy, until I tried it. I was sweating bullets after 20 seconds. But I kept at it, and my personal best, you know, they have this thing called PB, personal best. I did it once for 3 minutes, and I almost died. I almost died after 3 minutes of straight plank. Meaning, it's easier said than done. Now, if I have kept up with it, and I, to some degree I kept up, I couldn't keep up with the 3 minutes because I just don't do enough. But if you do it again and again and again, after a while, it becomes easier. Not easy, but easier. Because your body picked that up, you actually are strengthening certain muscles. You know, this is the core mainly. And there, by the way, many kinds of plank, some getting harder and harder, side plank. They have a Superman plank, you know. They have a deep dive plank, all kinds of things, all right? They have a push-up plank, they have all kinds of things. All right, so my point is this, my point is this. Today, when I say we need to bear fruit, we need to contact people, this is too hard. This is too hard. Well, sisters, actually, it is not too hard. It is, you have no muscles. You understand? To use my analogy, it is, you're not used to this. I see some ladies and even one sister with 9 kids. I said, after 9 kids, I don't know what one would look like, you know? How can a person have 9 children and still look human, you know? And there's this sister with 9 kids, and she looks still quite young. And I said, this is impossible. It's amazing. Because she's used to having kids. So, yeah, it's just another one, you know. Let's just have another one. Let's another one. So 9. She's still quite okay. Some other ladies, even to the thought of having one, they just couldn't even entertain that thought. Oh, the pain. Oh, this and that. Well, I'm telling you, I'm not teaching you the power of positive thinking. But I am telling you, sisters, there's something called habit. There's something called culture. There's something called a kind of constant exercise so that something that would look very, very difficult would become actually quite doable and even common for you because you do it again and again and again. I like to tell you, bearing fruit for the Lord, bringing people to Christ, bringing people, helping people to grow in life and shepherding, all these things, it's a hard job. That's why we use the word labor. It is challenging. It is wearing. It wears on you. But I also would like to tell you, it is something that you can all do. I can do. We can all do. If we set our heart at it, and if we love the people that we care for. So I'm going to just encourage all of you after this weekend, you just go back and review some of these messages. Of course, practice these things. And what should I say? I would just say, you just start. You just start doing it. Start contacting people. Something you have not thought about doing, just start doing. Pray to the Lord. Ask for the experience of His promises. And then go forth and contact someone. Reach out. The old AT&T, reach out and touch someone, right? Go out and reach out to contact some people. You do that. You do that. And after a while, you will pick up. This is not something that difficult. And then, I would say, soon enough, you'll be actually happily bringing someone on or raising someone up in Christ. Now, here I would like to say something that I did not finish in the last meeting. Last meeting, I talked about childbirth, which is the initial gospel preaching to get someone saved. But the real job is after that, where you have to begin to nurse them. Now, that is a very intimate kind of care for a little infant, right? There's the holding, there's the cherishing, there's the warming, protecting, and there's obviously the feeding. A little child actually does nothing but eat, sleep, and poop. Am I right? It's all they know how to do. And that's good enough. And that's good enough for a period of time. And so you feed them. You help them to sleep, right? Rock them to sleep. And then you change the diapers. I tell you, that repetitive work, that kind of a constant care of a little baby, you will soon see that little baby grow. I say, yes, in a way, there are good mothers and bad mothers. On the other hand, I would also like to say there are no good mothers and there are no bad mothers. There's just mothers. If anything, I would not use the adjective good or bad. I would use the adjective loving. They are loving mothers and some that are less loving. That's the difference. It's not that they inherently this mother is more smart. And so she's a good mother. Or this mother is more skillful, so she is a better mother. Of course, today you have the internet, you can check up a lot of things, you can learn a lot of things. But really, no mother was ever, I mean, you don't become a mother by going to school. It's not such a thing. You be a mother by becoming one. And then one day, your mother, right? And so all the mothers have to learn the same thing. All the mothers have to go through. That's why the firstborn is always the tough one for both the mother and the child. Now, the point here, sisters, is don't have this idea that, oh, I don't know the technique. I don't know the method. I don't know what is the secret to be the best mother or the key of this and that. There are principles. There are certain things. Even in the Bible, there are certain things. But in the end, you raise up a child just by raising them up. Just like you preach the gospel by just preaching. You don't sit there and read a book. You just go and preach the gospel, and in the preaching, you will learn the various fine points. You will learn some key, something that works and something that doesn't work, all from experience. So, sisters, I just encourage all of you, by yourself, to have this kind of a resolve, this kind of determination, based on all that was shared, to just not ask for 9 kids all at once, but ask for 1 child every 3 years, or 2 years, or whatever. You just ask the Lord, and you begin to write down names and contact people. Now, I'm going to say something very quickly in a moment, not only by yourself, but with a companion, with another one or two, so that you'll be 2 or 3 supporting one another to do this together. Now, that is the first step, just to beget, to bring a sinner home, to bring a lost sheep home, to help someone to be regenerated, to be born again. It's utter joy to see someone safe in front of you, by you. It is a unsurpassed joy. It is makes you feel like you got saved all over again. You don't know how much you miss in not saving another soul. You don't know how much you miss. That joy is irreplaceable by any other kind of thing. Even your own time with the Lord cannot be replaced, cannot replace that kind of a joy of salvation. Then as you go on, there's a lot of work to do. I mentioned cherishing. I mentioned feeding. Then as this kid grows, you know what you have to start to do, even when they're rather small, you have to start to teach them. Am I right? You know how they pick up language, right? You know how little babies pick up language? By you talking. I mean, they are just making nonsensical sounds, but actually they are emulating you. They are just responding to you. I learned recently that babies actually learn the sounds in the womb. For example, in the womb, this baby, a lot of echo, this baby hears 2 different languages spoken, let's say, 1 by the mom, 1 by the dad. And actually, this baby will have a preference for one of them, depending how they sound. Yeah, these are studies that I read about. I mean, even in the womb, you are already teaching them unconsciously by the way you live, by the way you speak, and so on. And little kids, you all know, before, at 5, 6 years old, have the ability to acquire at least 3 languages easily. Actually more. But once they get to even 10 years old, 12 years old, that drop very, very steeply. And so the best thing is if you can bilingual, trilingual, you just speak all this different language to them, they'll pick it up. Don't worry about them. They will pick up everything. So this kind of a teaching of language, and then you have to start teaching them how to be polite, you know what I mean? Not to throw all the food on the floor, to be proper at a certain age, you train them, basically. You train them. In fact, you will, in time, add a little discipline. Am I right? You need that, right? A little discipline, all of which is to help shape this little plant, to shape this little person into a proper human being. And then you have to add values. At a certain point, you must instill them with the proper human values, what the right versus the wrong. You have to help them to know their conscience a little bit. So actually, in our children's meeting, the most important thing in the children's meeting is not just to get them to be spiritual. They're too young. The main thing is to help them to have a good, what, foundation in their human life, to embrace the proper values and to build up a proper kind of character. This is the main work. This is the main work. And then at generally at grade six, whatever, you know, they can, sometimes a little earlier, they can be saved. Then they can be baptized and they can become a saint or a believer around that time. I myself, I believed clearly and I was baptized clearly when I was 11 years old. 11 years old, just right around, just the right time, let me say. So I'm describing to you not that any of these things are news to you, but just to go through them again to understand that in the spiritual realm, it's no different. It's no different. So besides feeding, besides nourishing, there is the teaching aspect. You have to teach. The home teaching by the mom is actually most important. It's more important than the teaching by the teacher in school. If we want to inoculate our kids in today's world, moms, you better start when they're small, when they are all yours. Nobody have any say over them, only you. You better use that time to infuse this little child with all your proper human values and even with the Bible and God and all those basic things. My wife would read every night a chapter with my daughters. This is prior to their even salvation and baptism at that sixth grade. But even just when they're growing up, just little kids, they don't understand just the Bible stories, the Old Testament, reading the Word, telling them there is a God, telling them that God loves man, and on, these very, very basic things. If you don't do that, someone else will do it for you. And that's not good stuff in today's world that we're living in. So, sisters, this is exactly the same. We are not here just to go run out there and gain 1,000 people and bring them all in here. No, that's the wrong thought. Adam, one Adam, now become billions. It's one person born at a time. One person born at a time, one by one. So today the whole earth is populated by 7 to 7 billion people. The same with us. We are not looking to any one of us being this great evangelist bringing in hundreds of people, but we are looking at so many normal saints or mothers or fathers just bringing forth a babe, a child, one at a time. Sometimes you get a twin, am I right? Get a little triplet, that's sort of extra blessing. But the normal course is one child at a time. So, take that way. Take that normal way. And this is why you need to do a lot of, you need to know some truth and teach them. And sisters, let me say this. It will be good for you all to take some time and familiarize yourself on this series called Life Lessons. Now, there are 48 lessons. You may not be able to get all 48, but at least the first 24. Okay? It's a marvelous book. In fact, I translated that book into English back in Taiwan. That's when that book, that set, four volume, came out. They are very basic, very simple, starting with the assurance of salvation and security of salvation. Then it goes on to household salvation. Then it goes on to clearance of the past. It goes on to baptism. It goes on to knowing the Bible. It talks, goes on to the triune God. It goes on to Christ, the Spirit, and on and on. Those first 24 lessons is actually indispensable for feeding a new believer. And dare I say today, even many Christians are deprived of those basic knowledge of the truth. So if you arm yourself with that knowledge of just that 24 lessons, you will find yourself having a lot more tools in your toolbox or in your diaper bag, whatever, to what? To meet the need of that person you're caring for. We need the cherishing on the one hand. That is just the care, the cooking, the feeding them. That's called cherishing. But we also need to know how to nourish them with something of the Word of God. And this is a good place to start. Another set let me recommend to you is the set that we give out free. You shouldn't be getting it free, only to outsiders. And that is Bibles for America set called The Basic Elements of Christian Life. All from the ministry of Brother Nee and Brother Lee, you read them and you use them to care for your young. This too just immediately comes to mind. Don't give them the high peak. Don't tell them all this thing about the reward and punishment of the kingdom. These are too heavy. You don't feed a little baby solid food or steak. They have to drink milk. In fact, they couldn't even take cow's milk. They have to take the mother's milk for a period of time. So you need to learn this step-by-step care in your fostering, in your raising up of a child. All of this, friends and sisters, is really happy stuff. I mean, if you really are into this, this is a joy. This is a life of meaning. This will give you reason to get up in the morning when there's a young one, a babe, awaiting your care. So you know, in Northern California, in the churches, we talk about the increase. We are not, I say again, just after some big campaign and get a whole bunch of people in. We're talking about 15% increase a year. And that is just saints doing their, living a normal life, just doing what you need to do your human affairs. But at the same time, you are vital. You are a fruit-bearing branch, and you care for people in this kind of way, and you will soon bear fruit normally. This is the way of persistence. This is the way of perseverance. This is the way of endurance. And this is the way that works. All right. Now, I think that is good for that much, okay? I'm just eagerly expecting, that in the coming years when I see you all have spiritual bumps and one here, one there, you know, one holding, one this, one in a stroller, crying, making a mess, I would say, praise the Lord. The word worked. the word worked. All the churches are like this all the time. How happy that will be. That is what the Lord wants. Pull out your handout, this blue thing. And I gave a word to the 50 plus using this outline in the back, the last page, called our crown of boasting. So, listen, the last two words, the two words for this message is glory and joy. The first is purpose and promise. The second meaning, grace and faith. The third meaning, love and labor. And now we come to the reward, glory and joy. I'm not going to spend that much time here because I've spoken this already to the 50 plus, but for those of you who are younger, let me just run through it very quickly. This little outline tells you the reward that you're going to get. And you'll be surprised what that reward is. That reward is not just some crown in the by and by. That reward is today. In fact, your reward is the very person you care for. That's Paul's figuration. So I'm going to be very quick. Number one, considering the one saved and nurtured by us as, number one, could you say it? B.
Our joy.
C.
Our crown.
D.
Our glory.
This is Paul's word in 1 Thessalonians 2:19. And I hope that you will pray these verses and be inspired by them. Now, what does it say? Let me just read it to you. Two simple verses. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Are not even you? For you are our glory and joy. So, you want hope in your life? You want joy in your life? You want a little crown? You want some glory? Gain someone. Save someone. Nurture someone. And build up someone. They will become your hope, joy, glory, and crown. Yeah. This is a very deep thought, by the way. And because since Brother Lee spoke about this, I was so taken by it that I look at the people I care for in a completely different way. I don't look at them, oh no, here he comes again, what a problem. I see it, hope is coming. My joy is coming. Am I right? These ones are such to the apostle. Two, boasting only in the work of gaining, perfecting, and building up people. Let's not boast in anything else. Don't boast in your spirituality. Don't boast in gaining, the work of gaining, perfecting, and building up people. A, please read. B, C, D, E,
in the day of the Lord.
Now this has something to do with the Lord's coming. If we are anticipating the Lord's return, we better have something to boast about in his presence when he comes. And the point over here is the people that you care for are the ones who will be your boast at the judgment seat of Christ in the day of the Lord. So that famous hymn, how can I face him empty-handed? How can I face him empty-handed? Let us not face the Lord with empty hands, but hands full of people. Number three, fostering the young and new believers. I covered this already. As a nursing mother, cherishing her own children. B, as an exhorting father consoling his own children, and see, travail in birth. There's an extra in here. Until Christ is formed in them. You know, those of us who are experienced know that the ones that you pick up and care for, even the ones you save, may have to be under your care actually for decades. For decades. You know, my daughters are all grown up now. You know, they are both over 30 now. But they're still my daughters. And my care, my wife and my care over them is not over. Far from over. And so this is a long-term work until Christ is fully formed in them, until they become mature in the Lord. So, like a vine branch, you should have what? You should have this whole cluster of fruit, some older, some younger, some newer. Whereas taking care of some newly saved ones, you know, we mainly work on the campus, my wife and I. And we're also taking care of some who have been through the FTTA. Now they are moms and dad themselves, but we still consider our children. That's just the way it is, right? I hope you as a branch is a laden branch, laden with fruit. 4, contacting sinners, seekers, and saints out of love and burden, not as a duty or necessity. Here are the things you can do to start. Write down their names. Pray for their spiritual welfare constantly. Visiting them regularly for shepherding, bringing them to our home meetings, and finally establishing them in the church life. All this is our fatherhood, motherhood, and parenthood in the spiritual realm. What a joyous way to live. 5, taking the way of persistence and endeavor, undeterred by obstacles, not disappointed by setbacks, and not expecting quick results. A, according to the divine operation in us, that's the operation of grace in power. B, one person at a time. With Paul, it's each one, each one, each one. And C, by admonishing, teaching, and presenting. So this is good enough for this outline. Now we come to the document before this, and that is the twos or threes in the Bible, which I also spoke about in the 50 plus conference. But since then, I asked the dear brothers here to put it down for me, all the cases of two and or three in the Bible, to prove that two or three is indeed a divine number, a divine biblical number, something that we should practice. Now, I don't have the time, so I'm going to quickly go through it with you, and you study it yourself or listen to that message. Two or three gather into the Lord's name. That this is the most important chapter, chapter 18 of Matthew. We have even a footnote here to demonstrate that the gathering of twos and or three is one of the most important ways for a community of saints to come together. To go to the meetings, you have to drive, you go at a certain time, a few hours a week, but two or three, you can meet all the time, anytime, anywhere. You can use Skype, you can use GoToMeeting, you can use the phone, they are the sisters down the street, brothers working together in the same office, students who are classmates or schoolmates with each other on the same campus, and even high schoolers. This covers all ages and can be practiced by anyone, any saint, in a very, very easy way. And yet that is the way that the Lord Jesus talked about the church life in Matthew 18. Let me just quickly go through this. Number two, being built up together to be a priesthood, a priestly body. This is a quote from a book that you can look at, but I want to draw your attention to that, to what Brother Lee is talking about here in the context of the New Testament priests of the gospel. And that is, we cannot serve as such priests alone, by ourselves. It's not sustainable. It's not even according to the body principle. We have to do these things in a corporate way so that we can support one another, hence the priesthood. So doing all the things I talk about this weekend, you should do it yourself, and better yet, you find one or two sisters, or maybe your husbands, to do it with as a little body, as a little mobile body of two and three priests to care for people. The council held, I keep going. The council held among the three of the Godhead regarding the creation of man. Even God is three. Now that's a very powerful thing. Even God is three economically. God is one essentially, but when it comes to God working, God moving, God doing things economically, he's three, Father, Son, and Spirit. So even the Godhead is a vital group, am I right? Is a two and three to work something out for himself. God creating two. God, you know, did God create a man? Huh? One. How many did God create? One or two? No. It always say, let us make man, da-da-da-da-da-da. And male and female, he created them. It's a he, it's also a he-she. That means it's a couple. Actually, God created a couple, without which there would be no proliferation. There would be no procreation. So look at that. Even a couple, it's the perfect two, or in this case not three, the perfect two as partners for to fulfill God's purpose in procreation. The Lord with the two angels as three visiting Abraham. Even the Lord took two angels with him to visit Abraham. And I said, you know, it's not like Jehovah needs bodyguards, am I right? And yet, why did he took two those two angels? Because those two angels were going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. They were on their way, passing through Abraham. And there Abraham had that glorious intercession to bargain with Jehovah so that he would not destroy the two cities, which were still ultimately destroyed, except for the rescue of Lot and his family. So you see, even Jehovah has two angels with him. Moses and Aaron, a pair. Moses couldn't speak. Aaron was his mouthpiece. You see the two here. Then two or three witnesses being related to testimony. This is consistent in the Old and the New Testament. It takes two or three to corroborate the evidences, the testimonies, to build a case. This is the biblical principle. One chase a thousand and two put two, not put, right? Oh, two put 10,000 to flight. There's an exponential power increase when you go from 1 to 2. Joshua and Caleb, the well-known pair of overcomers, not just Joshua, not just Caleb, but a pair. Why? Because it takes the two to have strength, to be a testimony to the unbelieving children of Israel. Three mighty men in coordination quenching David's thirst. It took three mighty men, not one, not even two, to break through the Philistines' lines to get water for David. Two or three being better than one. You have to read Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Wonderful, wonderful verses. Two is better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. You know, one day I think with the Lord, we may share some of our reward because you'd care for this little one together with another sister, together with someone else. And that is very, very good. If one fall, there's someone there to lift you up. Woe to the one who falls and nobody lifts him up. Maybe 5 weeks later, they have to scrape their body off the floor because they are a loner. That is not good. Two lie together, they keep warm. How can one be warm alone? While a man can prevail against the one, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. I think you get the point. Daniel and his companions. This is spiritual, mighty Daniel. Even he needs a few companions as they withstood the persecution of the Babylonians. Two sons of oils in Zechariah. You know, eventually they are the two witnesses in Revelation, Moses and Elijah. Three seeing the vision of the transfigured Christ. That's Peter, James, and John. Two or three to reprove and gain a sinning brother. Back to Matthew 18 again. It takes two to recover a brother. Or three. Two or three having authority to bind and loose. It's hard to sit there by yourself and say, Lord, I bind this, I bind that. It doesn't even sound right. But when you have two saints together, suddenly you can bind. Suddenly there's a kind of authority or power there. And that is the body. Two or three being in harmony to accomplish God's purpose and intention. It says, if two of you are in harmony, the Lord says, didn't say, if one of you. No, he needs at least two of you to be in harmony to do things for them. Two or three being gathered into his name to form a midst for the Lord's rich presence. Where there are two or three gathered into my name, I'm in their midst. It's a guaranteed presence when there are two or three believers. Three watching with the Lord for the accomplishment of God's will at the Garden of Gethsemane. Three joining the Lord to overcome the oppression of sin and to give life to the dead. In the case when the Lord Jesus raised the dead child. Preaching the gospel and spreading his ministry two by two. He sends 70 out in pairs. Just like in FTTA, there's always gospel partners. And then the Father, the Son, with the Spirit, that's the three working together in harmony when the Lord was on the earth. Paul and Barnabas, there's your two. Silas and Timothy, that's your other pair. Paul and Prisca and Aquila, that's another three. Prisca and Aquila, husband and wife, that's another two. Iodis and Syntyche, not very positive, but they were two. And the two witnesses, the two olive trees, and the two lampstands. And I'm done with this outline. Okay, very simply put, sisters, I hope you would all, in a very simple way, practice the two or three. Find, could be your husband, could be another sister or two. Could be someone younger than you. Could be someone older than you. You just come together as the Lord leads. You pray for this, and the Lord will bring you together. And a lot of times you don't need to figure out this too much. Just the environment. A lot, oftentimes it's already there. Something very, very natural. Don't be too choosy. Don't be too selective. But you have still to be natural. And just remember, this kind of two or three is not for just a gathering, for a home meeting, so-called. No. This two or three, a very mobile two or three, is for the purpose to gain increase. That is to contact people. So the main thing these two or three should come together is to pray. Pray for the church. Pray for yourselves as two or three. Lord, what do you want us to do? Open our ears and give us a word on what we two or we three should do to reach out to contact people. Should we go to the park? Should we start a little children's meeting at home? Should we knock on the doors? Should we just list out some names of our mutual friends, acquaintances, and we just pray, and we just pray. Pray, pray very much. And then at the right time, the Lord will lead you and direct you to your, as to your next step to contact them. I'm not going to tell you more. You just do that. If the more things I tell you what to do, the more you cannot move, like the centipede. You know the centipede with 100 legs? So he was walking around just happily until someone asked him, hey, wait a minute. When you walk, which leg do you lift up first? So Mr. Centipede got into his mind. And say, that's a good question. I got a 100 of them. I never figured out, I never thought, which leg should I move, do I move first? And he was stuck on this little leaf, unable to move because he couldn't figure out which leg should go first. And he had 100 of them. My goodness, he was dying. He was dying. The whole night, he couldn't figure it out. He was tired out, actually. And in the morning, the sun rose and shone through the leaves. And Mr. Centipede lifted up his eyes and saw the sun. And he started moving towards that sun, meaning he forgot which leg first. So I'm not going to tell you how many legs you have. I'm going to tell you, follow the sun. S-O-N. Follow the sun. All right? You pray. You look to the Lord. The Lord will lead you in a much better way than what we can do here. Now, I finally want to repeat this. What time is it? 3:18. We're in pretty good time. I want to finish up with what I share briefly in last weekend, two weekends ago, in South San Francisco, right? And I gave you eight points of two or three. Do you remember that? I don't know whether you wrote it down, but sorry, within the last 2 weeks, it grew to 10. So I'm going to give you the 10 points now, including the 8. All right? So here we go. See if my mind works, my memory works. You help me. This is the two or three life, normal life of an overcomer. So doable by all of us. Number one, you remember what? Call on the Lord two or three times. Now, that doesn't mean by the third time you are not allowed to call on the Lord. Of course not. But at least two or three to really deep breathe and touch the Lord and drink of Him. Number two, pray, read two or three verses. Actually, sometimes three is too many, if you ask me. Two is plenty. Two is plenty. And may I add something to this as a little parenthesis? Not just pray, read two or three verses. Try to remember two or three words and chew on it throughout the day. Just out of those two verses, two or three words is all you need to remember. And throughout the day, you just chew the cud. You regurgitate. You eat it, suck on it throughout the day. You see how much supply you get. Number three, pray two or three times a day. Lunchtime, maybe evening time, driving time, picking up the kids' time. Your mind is wandering. Redeem that time and pray to the Lord. You know, if we don't set apart these times, we most likely won't do it. So budget a little bit. Very simply, even you busy mothers, you can do this. And that prayer too, is you can pray by means of all prayer, all kinds of prayers. Just contacting the Lord. And let me tell you, actually, this is the way to walk in the Spirit, by praying without ceasing. Pray for the contacts. Pray for the new ones. Pray for so many things, two or three times a day. Number four, what is it? Read two or three chapters of the Bible every day. Not much. Just two or three chapters of the Bible. Old Testament is okay. New Testament is okay. Some of you may just read the text. Others may want to read the footnotes. You just do what is comfortable to you. The point here is not how much. The point is regular. Regular. You keep doing it. The payoff is in the regularity. Number five is what? Oh, it would be wonderful if you can read two or three life studies. And I told you that day, I didn't tell you, I told Southern California. There are 1,984 life study messages all told, around 2,000. And in Irvine, it took us 20 years to finish them. That means 10 years, about half of them. So I did a little quickie calculation. You have to verify that. If you would read Genesis, Exodus, all of Paul's 14 epistles, these life studies, all of Paul's 14 epistles, and add to that Matthew, John, and Revelation. Forget the rest for now. Just this. This is a little over half. Just a slightly over half of the 2,000 life studies. And if you would just read two a week, you will finish all of this in 10 years. Now you say 10 years is too long a time. All I can ask you is, think about the last 10 years. Where did it go? It just flew by. Am I right? So, saints, the tortoise wins the race. Don't be a rabbit. Let's all be the tortoises. You just start today. You don't even need to make some huge, big resolutions. You just start. Pick one book. And the best thing actually is to follow brotherly sequence, Romans, and then John, and then Hebrews, and then I believe Revelation, and on and on, and Genesis, etc. Goodness, I tell you, if you read 500 life studies, brotherly, say you're more than a saint than these Catholic saints, you know. you be a good believer. Okay, that's number what? That's five? That's six. Let's come to seven. Huh? Now we come to six? Well, that's five. Now we come to six. What is number six? Oh, yes. Go to two or three meetings of the church. The Lord's Day meeting, the prayer meeting, the group meeting, small group meeting, whatever. Go to two or three meetings. As a rule, don't skip them. Just go. Just go. Right? Build up the habit. As to what? Some have stopped meeting and it has become a custom to them. You know, meeting can be a custom. Not meeting can also be a custom. Depends what you build up. That's number six. Number seven. What is number seven? No, number seven is simply to have two or three companions. You find two or three companions and try to contact each other two or three times. This is still on the same point. A week could be just a phone call, could be just a prayer here, some fellowship there. You know, by the way, in caring for people, the best thing is to discuss their cases together. You learn a lot. I don't know how to take care of this person. Then you talk, you fellowship, then you try it again, and pretty soon you all learn together. Okay? So this is number seven. Number eight. Goodness, it seems like I'm running out of this. Go out two or three times, 2 or 3 hours per week. I shouldn't say go out. I should say spend 2 or 3 hours to contact people. You can do it in your home, calling someone, writing an email, sending them a tract, or you go to door knocking, you go set up table in the Walmart, multiple ways. Go on campus. We have a dear elder who just retired in Irvine. A leading elder who just retired in Irvine. You know what he's going to do? He's going full time. Where? On campus. On our UCI campus. He is older than me, and he's going to go on campus. Let me tell you, when you have a heart, you have a way. Nothing can stop us. All right, that's number eight, right? Now I'm really missing one point. Ah, thank you very much. Always have two or three under your care. People of all, in all stages of your care. You know, some in the front burner, some in the back burner. You just don't care for just one. You know, sometimes if you care for just one and that doesn't work out, you have nothing. We gain quality out of quantity. And so it's good to have several under your regular care. And the very last point, number 10, bear 2 or 3 remaining fruit in the coming 10 years. 10 years. We're just asking for 2 or 3 remaining fruit from all of us. Okay. Let's read this together. This pink little thing, let's read this verse together. I'm not going to ask us to memorize it, but let's just read it together. Okay, let's go, sisters. Give a ringing shout, O barren one. You who have not borne, break forth into joyful shouting and cry out, you who have not been in labor. For more numerous are the children of the desolate one than the children of the merry woman. So we say amen. May this be. be so. All right. Do you have any questions for me? If not, we can have this time for some sharing by you, by some of the brothers who may have some burden concerning this word. What do you want to do? By the way, I told you that I am preparing training material for sisters. Did I not tell you? Oops, I let the cat out of the bag. So it is going on right now, and most likely there will be 24 lessons. 24 lessons for sisters. So that from now on, all the sisters who come, new one, young ones that you will gain, they can just go through these 24 lessons and know how to be a sister. We'll see. You have any questions, sisters, mothers? Yes, back there. I couldn't hear a word. So they're giving you a mic.
Okay. So at least once a month, we have this gospel feast. And I always invite people, you know, like wherever I contact a lot of people, and they're always very excited. They say, okay, they are coming or possibly coming. So before the you know, like a Monday, and then I would send out maybe like sometimes it's even 10, you know, 10 email, or I write or I send a gospel tract. But often on the day, nobody come. Uh-huh. And this happened several times already. So I don't know whether I should continue to you know, keep inviting them, or, you know, sometimes they say that on that day they have to work. Instead of 6 p.m., they work till 11 p.m. Some people, they say, oh, they are from moments, you know, so they don't...
Yeah.
You know, so I just don't know how to go on and how to make it more fruitful.
I have two answers for you. Number one is, in the matter of endeavoring to contact people and gain them, it's a long-term labor. So one time or two time of without results, we should not give up. We should not give up. We should persist. We should persevere. The solid work is always long-term. Quick results, instant results, are usually undependable and not lasting. So do the long-term work with a long-term view, all right? So one or two times of no results, you should not just quickly give up. That's the first answer. But there's a second answer. The second answer is, you must study. Is this way that you're doing, inviting people, is the right way or not? Because of the time, because people's busyness, because of so many factors that you have to consider. By the way, sisters, in gaining people, one of the most important thing is that we have to overcome our disposition. Let's say you have a cold disposition, you cannot gain people. You have to warm up. Or you are a very introverted person, you cannot gain people. You have to overcome that to become more extroverted, more sociable. If you are a sort of a straight arrow, you cannot gain people. You have to be flexible. Gaining people is the most important thing, is you have to be flexible, not expecting other to fit your situation, but always endeavoring to fit other people's situation, be it schedule, be it venue or places of meeting, be it the way to meet with them. You need a lot of flexibility. So, sister, you need to study And you should also have two or three, I hope, that you can study this matter together and find a better time, a better way. Maybe this way is not the right way. It's okay. You try. You try a few more times. And then you change. You find a better way to do things. All right? No?
Okay.
All right. That's good. That you have no questions. How about some sharing now? You want to share first or the brothers share first? Huh? Brothers first? I thought it should be ladies first. Because they may take over all your time. So let's ask them to share also with some time constraint. All right? I don't know what they have to say, so let's see. Brothers, you have some burden. And you can come up. You can come up. We will be done definitely at the top of the hour. Okay.
The brother said that the sister's love, once they had a child, is overwhelming. And that's true. We adopted two boys. I could only have one child. And so I had the one, and then we adopted two boys. There's no difference between them. They're the same. They're the same. And then also goes along with a spiritual child. I should think that a spiritual child would be very, very loved by you. And I think that our love is important to give a spiritual child also.
Experience with you guys. I'm fairly new in the church life, and I have a sister who she says the Lord loves you or have a good day to everyone. She brings the Lord up to every single person she meets. Me, I'm scared to death to even bring it up to anybody. And I was sitting in the park one day, and this lady sat by me, and I was feeding squirrels, and the Lord inside me was saying, are you going to say something to her? Most of the time when I hear that, I ignore it. But for some reason, I couldn't move. So I finally looked at her, and I said, do you believe in Christ? And she said, oh, yes, I do. Well, she's my first person, you know, to fellowship with and to, you know, to do this with. And I just wanted to share experience to, you never know that when you're sitting there, who it might be, just, you know, just if they respond, just go for it. Amen.
Amen, sisters. I don't know about you, but oftentimes I would hear sisters complaining about, you know, the brothers, the husbands, are not good in taking care of my child, my children. You know, they're not doing this and not doing that to help my child, to take care of my child. You know, I myself also, I complained before, but so praise the Lord, we are naturally made as martyrs. We have that natural ability, we have that gift from the Lord to in the matter of food bearing and in the matter of caring. When it comes to the matter of food bearing for us, we should you know, go forward, and oh Lord Jesus, I forgot what I need to say. But we need to take that gift from the Lord, because God gave us the blessing. God gave us the instinct. We should you know, take that from the Lord and go bear fruit and go take care of the spiritual fruits, amanas. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord for those practical words. Really workable. In the church life so many years, more than 30 years, I really appreciate those words. It's so clear and so easy to practice. Yeah, I just with Alco brother saying that we really, if like that 10 points, we really can step by step do it daily. We really can become a person, the loving mother, and take care of the bearing fruit, and we really can have a happy, joy church life, and really help to the expressing and increasing for his recovery.
Amen. Praise the Lord, dear mothers. The point I want to share is a last message, the love and labor. I grew up in the church life. Is a naughty one. When I was in high school, because I grew up in church life, so I knew all the brothers and sisters, I knew all the family, their bad story, good story. I mean, I knew all of that. So to me, church life just a playground. I go to church life, love feast. I go to church life, picnic. I don't go to the meeting. Meeting is boring. Okay. When I was in high school, one sister, I think at that time she is about 40-some years old. She is the same district with my family. So she just told me, Jacob, before you go to school every day, come to my house. My house is very near to her house. Come to my house, then I will read one chapter with you every day. That's how I build up my Old Testament. So I go to his house. But you know the young people. There's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, doesn't matter. I mean, come on. So I go to her home. It's not setting time. Sometimes 7, sometimes 7:10, sometimes 7:20, sometimes 6:50. But no matter when I arrive, she will put down anything. She's eating breakfast. No matter what she's doing, she will put down anything and wear her head cover. You know, in the Taiwan, the sisters still wear the head cover. She will, because I'm a brother, right? So sister in front of me, you should cover your head, okay? That's in old time, okay? She will wear her hair cover, then sit with me, read one chapter. We pray, 10 minutes, I leave. Not for days, for years. When Brother Miro shared the love and labor, I just want to be in tears. I just feel, Lord Jesus, what kind of love and labor I receive? Amen. So today, I want to do the same thing.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for this weekend. So joyful, the beginning of the meeting was like, rejoice. That's really a rejoice meeting. Amen. So this weekend, I really feel there's hope. Even though I'm shameful, I'm barrenness, but thank you for the Lord. He has purpose. Amen. And he has promised in his word. Amen. As long as we pray that the promise will be our reality, then he will... he himself will fulfill his purpose. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And we just need to come to him in an intimate time and quality time. Amen. To gain him as our grace. Amen. And have faith in him. Then we will bear fruits. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. I really enjoyed this point that the life in us is a childbearing, fruit-bearing life. Amen. To not bear fruit, you must suppress or deny those feelings. That's kind of like spiritual birth control. We don't want to do that. Right. We should never become okay with our abnormal condition. This is really a key point to me. The life in us is a fruit-bearing life. And we just have to say, Lord, I agree with you. It is not normal. If I'm not bearing fruit, that's not normal, and that's not okay. Lord, we want to bear much fruit. Thank you for your life in us.
Amen. I wanted to testify to the joy that having a new one is for you. I thought it was kind of funny. I was at a gas station this morning, and the cashier told me Happy Mother's Day. And I'm like, I'm not a mother. I'm still in college, but I don't know. Anyway, I just wanted to share that being able to take care of a new one through maybe not their salvation, but through their growth with the Lord is so enjoyable. Being able to see them enjoy the Lord and being the one who's dispensing Christ to them is oh my goodness, it's so enjoyable. And I praise the Lord for this one that I have been taking care of. I haven't seen her in a little while, but Lord, she's still in my heart. She's still one that I want to take care of. I also praise the Lord for putting me with two different sisters who want to preach the gospel, and I don't want to. But the Lord has put me with two so that he can work through us. He can work through all of us, even me who doesn't want to do it, who is so introverted. But I just praise the Lord that he's put me with these ones who have such a heart for him. And I can even receive something from their burden, and I can share their burden and build up the kingdom.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for the examples in the church, Lord. You know, when I first was contacted by some sisters, I was leaving my husband. This was in my 20s. And I said, well, you know, I'm leaving my husband. And they said, well, we don't care. We want you to come into the church life. You said, it doesn't matter, you know, if you're going to be married or not married, but we're interested in you. And their pursuit of me just really touched me because they didn't want to design me to be something, but they just accepted me. And as time went on, the same sister, you know, I said, you know, after about 15 years, I said, this is just as a working out. You just leave me alone. She says, it's too late. It's too late. I'm pursuing you anyway, you know. And because of those examples, when I started taking care of this dear one that I've been with for 13 years, when she said that to me, leave me alone, it's no use, I said, it's too late. You know, I just echoed what someone said to me, you know, and then I realized, you know, that this was just normal. The fruit bearing is just normal. And then the one other thing about meeting in twos or threes, I had this burden before I went to the 50s conference, and I knew it was the right way because when the Lord speaking through the brother confirmed it, and also the fight that we had to find a day and to keep to that day to get together. So, yeah, I thought, there's got to be something to this because the enemy is just really attacking us, you know. And it's just been our joy. So, amen, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have many mothers in the church life. I came into church life when I was 15, very naughty. But there was many sisters that just loved me anyway. And I'm here because they prayed for me. And I don't even know if they were aware of what I was doing. They probably were. But they prayed for me. And I'm here because of them. And that's 40-some-odd years later. And as the brother was sharing, by the Lord's mercy and his grace, I was able to follow their pattern and care for others. And I kind of gravitate towards the naughty ones, you know, because I know there's hope, you know. Here I am. And but I just, this weekend, I was just very touched. Well, actually, about 2 weekends ago, we had that Simon class with our brother, and he broke down about the increase. And the Lord really spoke to me about, okay, yeah, you care for the saints in your locality. You care for the young ones. You care for the high schoolers, but it's time for you to have a baby, you know. And so it was kind of like, I'm like, Sarah, oh yeah, you know, I don't go anywhere. I don't do anything. I don't work. You know, I live a sheltered life. But I'm going to expose myself. I do go to Weight Watchers on Wednesday morning, right? And so I asked the Lord, I prayed, Lord, I need somebody. And I didn't even think about Weight Watchers. I'm really exposing myself now. But the Lord gave me two women. One young lady came to me after the meeting and said, your smile makes my day. And I thought, oh, you shouldn't have said that. You know what I mean? I just knew right then that I need to care for her. So I had been going on walks with her. And then another woman left when she brings her three little sons, and she left crying. And the Lord said, go out to her. And I went to tell her, you know, I know how it is to have three boys, you know. And she happens to live down the street from me. And she's texting me and asking me to walk with her. So I realized these are my babies. And then, okay, so now, you know, when you have children, you don't know how to be a mom, right? And it's like, oh, no, I don't know how to do this anymore, you know? So I went and bought all the little tracks. I was so happy the brother brought up the life lessons because I had those. We have numerous copies because for this reason. And so, praise the Lord, I'm encouraged. So, saints, you know, the Lord will do this. And now we need to pray just that he would give me that bothersome love the brother talked about earlier, about waking up early because you love so much that you know you have to care for someone. And I am yearning for that. And I know because I'm praying and petitioning that he will do it.
Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. I just want to share that the links that you have to go through to take care of a new one, if I can get through this. Dear sister, Joanne Kong and Jonathan Kong, they took me under their wing when we first came into the church life. Tammy knows what I mean. And she went to so many lengths to bring us into the church life. When we first came in, I had just had a baby. My daughter was only 3 months old. She went to her neighbor and talked her neighbor into selling her home so we could move into it. In fact, we went to look at the home and it wasn't even for sale. And she talked her into it. We moved into the home and we lived there for 15 years. She taught me how to grocery shop. When my daughter was little, I couldn't get her to eat. So Joanne would come over and take her home with her. Oh, the home was, by the way, two doors from Joanne. And Joanne would take her home and offer her all this Chinese food, all these different things. And my daughter would eat it. But she wouldn't eat anything for me. When my daughter was sick, she'd come over and sit in the rocking chair in my home and rock her till she was asleep so I could get some rest. She taught me how to grocery shop. She even scolded me. She scolded me when I didn't treat my husband right. She talked to me about the virtuous woman. So she, when Tammy says she doesn't know what to do or how to take care of a new one, you just do whatever it takes and whatever length you have to go to. And that was 42 years ago, and I'm still here.
Men were created to be blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Our burden right now is that we wanted to see a flourishing church. Amen. A church that's constantly fruitful. I used to serve full time, so I did brought a lot of fruit. But right now I'm a mother in the home and working, and I know I haven't been bringing any fruits to the Lord. So I do want to ask the Lord to bless me again. Amen. It doesn't matter what our age is. We can bear fruit unto the Lord. Amen. If we have the heart and we have the faith, the Lord will do what is impossible with men, but nothing is impossible with him.
Amen. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. I was one of those people who think, how will we have the... multiplication for the church for the next 10 years. I mean, next 10 years to double the size. Yeah, but praise the Lord, the brother gave us this conference saying that being fruitfulness and also multiplication. Yeah, really praise the Lord. This is the way for us to, oh Lord, open our womb. Oh, to bear the fruit, fruit of life. For myself, I have three sons. They are already grown up. And the youngest one is going to transfer, so it's going to be out of my hand. And I started to, a couple months ago, when brother had the burden for the multiplication in the barrier, I started to pray to the Lord. Lord, what should I do next? I don't have physical kids around me anymore. But praise the Lord. Lord, give me a girl, a sister to take care of. Yeah, that's very, let me see, this is the natural law of the multiplication. Amen. Yeah, it's not just our physical kids, children around us. It's the multiplication of the life. Amen. As the increase of the church as his body of Christ. Amen. So praise the Lord, we all are the member of his body. Amen. We all are in the nourished of this life supply. Amen. Oh, may the Lord open our womb. Amen. Not to be barren. Amen. But to bear fruit. Amen.
Amen. After 9 months of pregnancy, when your child was born, you're so happy, full of joy, full of relief. Just like when you care for someone and preach the gospel, and when that person is baptized, you're so happy and joyful and glorious, the joy you cannot describe, right? I used to be so happy and say, okay, I did my job, you're now baptized, good luck to your church life.
Good luck.
But praise the Lord, recently I was so touched that how much we need to learn to care for them step by step. And in order to care for them step by step, we need to know the steps. Like when your child was born, you give them breast milk. After 6 months, you give them little solid food and all these steps. But I used to just feed them whatever. And if they don't respond or don't come back, oh no. Maybe change the food right away. And so I realized how much we need to be really nourished and really equipped with all this healthy food and all these steps to feed those around us.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I really appreciated that the life in us is a fruit-producing life and a life that produces children. And I also appreciate the matter of prayer, that we need to pray not only to enjoy the Lord, but we need to pray to apprehend the Lord, to claim the promises of the Lord. And it is when we claim the promises, they become our experiences and they become real to us. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord for the blessing. Hallelujah, the blessing of God to us is to be fruitful and multiply. I really enjoy, this is, we are receiving such a blessing. This is God's purpose. He's the God of promise.
Amen.
Oh, he gave us grace. We need to use faith to realize,
right,
to take the grace. Oh, we need to ask for it, and the Lord will do it. I really enjoy this footnote in Psalm 127:3, which says that increase does not depend on what we do. It depends on how much God gives.
Amen.
God has already given, saints. Oh, it also depends on how we receive. Amen. We need to say amen.
Amen.
Oh, may this happen to me according to your word.
Amen.
And I also like to testify the glory and the joy of taking care of new ones. It's on the one hand, it's a labor, but on the other hand, oh, the joy. The joy. Just this past week in our Bible study on campus, a new one sharing was just so to the point. And I was like, wow, praise the Lord. Amen. You see the growth. You see that they're getting God's economy. How joyful. Amen. How joyful that makes you. I was like really joyful. Praise the Lord. Amen. They are the glory. They are glory and joy. Amen. Praise the Lord for such a word. Amen. Amen. I'd like to encourage the saints. Let's use our faith to take the grace.
Amen.
And love and labor.
Amen.
And receive joy and glory.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We believe the Lord will do according to all He's spoken this weekend.
Amen.
To make all the sisters fruitful mothers in the church life.
Amen.
We have just a few practical announcements. Again, there's offering boxes near this exit here. If you'd like to give some offering for the expenses of this conference. Don has a couple other important announcements.
One is, you now we've concluded this conference. You have your little badge holder, and you can keep the badge if you like, but we need to have the badge holder back. So we're going to have the ushers bring boxes along the aisles. Please pass it to a central aisle. So, for example, if you're up against the wall, you should pass it to the center there. If you're on either end, you need to pass it toward a central aisle. And the center group here, you pass it to your right. Okay, so take the badge out of the badge holder and then pass the badge holder to a central aisle. And then the ushers are going to bring boxes by to collect them from you. A couple other just quick practical announcements, one of which I hardly need tell you, please check around your chair for your belongings. We don't want to give any unnecessary gifts to the hotel. So please make sure you pick up everything that you need or that you brought. And then finally, we need to remind you that in the last page of your little booklet there, you have the two areas where you can exit. Okay, the main exit, which goes out to the front here, is credit card only. But the other exit that goes off to the side, that is both credit and cash. So just as a reminder for how you can exit with the parking. Okay. Oh, yes.
Okay. Let's take out your pink card and let's all declare in faith the verse that's on your pink card. Okay? Sisters, you have it? Okay, ready? Go. Amen.
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 Let's say praise the Lord three times together.